The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris, we're joined this week by our old friend Greg Bishop, and he's author of a new book called It Defies Language, Essays on UFOs and Other Weirdness. And by the way, the illustrations, magnificent, I guess, cartoon-style illustrations by Red Pill Junkie. He should be working for DC Comics, I think.
He should be working for lots of people. In fact, the thing is that this is the first book he's ever done and designed. He showed me some caricatures he did of Nick and I and a few other people. And I said, this was like in, what, something like September of last year. And I said, do you want to try and do some illustrations for my book? I don't have anybody to do anything. And he hit it out of the park on the first try. I think he should be probably getting book designing work already. I think he is because of this, and it's well-deserved.
Certainly, he needs a new profession. This is it. But he could also, you know, take a gig at DC Comics. I think he'd do well with that.
Yeah, I think he would, too. Well, I think he'd do good at any comics place. He should start his own. His illustration is great. He's always saying, oh, I don't have any real good formal training, and it's like, I don't either, but we put together a book, so who cares, and it looks beautiful. I was at the farmer's market here in L.A. 2 days ago with Steve Berg, who's a fan of my show. We had the book on the table. It's an outdoor place with a bunch of different stalls with restaurants in them, and people were walking by, and everybody was looking at the book because the cover graphic is so compelling to people.
I'll tell you, this is just magnificent work. We have an undiscovered talent here, and it has to be dealt with. In fact, we'll get him on the show in the near future and talk to him further about it. But right now, I wanted to cover a couple of things before we go into the book and how it started in the Genesis. And that is, you may have heard, and this is a story that's been run in the papers and in Huffington Post, that Hillary Clinton, regardless of what you think of the politics, she's promising to look into UFOs. But you and I know, because we've been around it a while, that presidential candidates make promises that seem to be seldom kept.
Yeah, well, most people know it's because Podesta is on her staff, and he's a big UFO fan. People probably know more about this than me. I remember that he tried to get, when he was in the first Clinton administration, that he was trying to get some movement on the UFO subject. And now, I think the only reason Hillary Clinton said that is because Jimmy Kimmel, whose show she mentioned this on, is all into the subject. And, of course, yes, they knew they were going to ask that question beforehand. No questions are blindsided to any guests. But I think they said, well, we'll just handle that because, like, she's trying to get a coolness quotient in or something. I think she really couldn't care less about the UFO subject.
She referred to them as UAP, though.
Yeah, I know. It's probably because Podesta told her because, you know, they think that's the hip term to use now, I guess. That's my guess, anyway. Anyway, people have all these hopes that she's going to reveal. It's like, no. It's not going to happen. It's just not.
And you see also she has this dodge. Well, if anything, of course,
right,
is an issue of national security, I couldn't tell you. But as long as it isn't, I'll reveal it. And, you know, even if she's pressed on the issue, they can always find a few documents to throw out there.
Yeah, and it sort of feeds into my idea about disclosure of anything, is that the government or anybody in the government or parts of the government do not exactly know what's going on. I think they just have more data than us, and they also now have an idea how inconceivably complicated and inscrutable and uncontrollable the phenomenon is, and there's nothing to disclose except ignorance and fear, so why bother?
He's fear. Are we talking about Donald Trump here?
Yeah, well, no, I'm talking about people in the government that are afraid of losing control. And if you say, well, yeah, there's something here, and we don't know what it is, and we don't know what to do about it, you know, why bother with that? Why admit that to anybody? Might as well just make everybody think you know something and use it to your ends until it's expedient to not to do so anymore.
Okay, we have Hillary Clinton's email server, the one that was in the basement at their home in New York State.
Yeah.
And they deleted thousands of messages that were considered personal before the rest were supposedly printed out and sent on to the State Department. So among those messages she deleted, therein lies the secret to the UFO mystery. That's your conspiracy theory for Alex Jones or Michael Savage or somebody.
I guess so. Probably to my detriment, I really steer away from stuff like that because every single time this kind of stuff has come up before, nothing has happened. So, you know, I think the onus is on people that are interested in it, the public and interested, you know, professionals and scientists and all that to work on the problem, not to go to the government and say, we want to find you. We want to know what you know. And if you don't tell us exactly what we expect, you're lying. It's an insolvable thing. It's like the Kennedy assassination. I don't even know if that'll ever be solved, ever. And, you know, people kind of have to be okay with that. I tend to think that Oswald didn't do it or didn't do it alone or whatever or had nothing to do with it. But there's no way to conclusively prove any of this to a great majority of the population. And, you know, for the UFO thing, if you haven't seen one and you can't call one up on demand, then it really isn't relevant to your life. So, you know, it's going to be an issue that's swept to the back for as long as it can be until it can't be ignored, which might be, you know, after our lifetimes or never.
Now, I go back a long way with the Kennedy assassination, because back in the late 60s, I attended lectures by a former New York State Assemblyman by the name of Mark Lane.
Yes.
He wrote a book called Rush to Judgment and several others. So he was really early in the Oswald didn't do it conspiracy theory. And then, of course, we have the other crazy theory that dovetails with the UFOs, which is that one of the characters in the Maury Island case, who was someone who was writing crazy letters to Ray Palmer in the days of Richard Shaver and Amazing Stories, Fred Lee Chrisman, remember him, might have been one of the hobos depicted in some of the pictures of the Kennedy assassination at Dealey Plaza.
Yeah, there's a lot of mites and maybes in the Kennedy assassination and very few definitively, unless you are a doctrinaire. It's just like the UFO thing. If you're completely against any kind of conspiracy, you can find fairly compelling evidence for people that agree with you to support that. And if you're suspicious of the government, which is basically almost everybody, and what they do and how power games are played, you can find plenty of evidence in the other direction. And because of the kind of person I am and how conspiratorial and still a little bit weird I am, I tend to think Oswald didn't do it or he didn't act alone, one of those two. But you know what? It's never going to be solved to anybody's satisfaction. And I don't even think there's any records or files that will tell us such a thing. If there were any, they were destroyed a long time ago. In fact, if I was going to do something like this, I would not write anything down, you know. So there's no real way to solve it, but it makes a lot of people very suspicious. I mentioned this to John Keel when I met him, and he's – I don't know how the subject came up, but he said – people were wondering – he said he remembers because, you know, he was a lot older than me at that point. I was born a month before it. He said people were talking about how strange and weird and you know, how things didn't fit together within days of the thing happening. It's not like this thing that had built over years, if you believe Keel. It's something that's been around for a long time. 9/11 stuff started happening within days, but the communication wasn't as well, so it spread. I mean, it wasn't as good in 1963, so it didn't spread as fast. But,
well, you know, Keel wrote an article once about the origins of the UFO mystery, and he took us back to the days of Ray Palmer, Richard Shaver. Of course, Palmer was then involved with Kenneth Arnold, because Kenneth Arnold, he dispatched to Maury Island. Arnold co-authored a book with Palmer. And we forget this is the coming of the saucers. And we kind of forget the first part of the book was written by Palmer and was a very ordinary summary of basic UFO sightings. It was part two of the book, which is, what, 100 or 120 pages, not a lot, that has all the paranoia all about Maury Island. We've got more to come about this. We have Greg Bishop, and he has a brand new book, and it's called It Defies Language, with tremendous illustrations from Red Pill Junkie. With Gene and Chris, you're in
Le Paracast.
I know that a lot of our listeners are interested in UFOs. The issue of giant skeletons found in America, paranormal investigations, and what the top researchers think about such topics. One online magazine has been presenting such unusual information since 1985. It is Alternate Perceptions Magazine at apmagazine.info. Use their search function to find articles on just about every topic imaginable. That's apmagazine.info.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
A good stove is at the top of the list for any serious survivalist. That's why you have to see the full range at Emberlit.com. Simple, elegant, but extraordinarily efficient. Available in titanium or stainless steel, the Emberlit line of stoves are ultralight, pack flat, and work great. Fueled only by sticks and debris, from emergency situations to long-term survival, Emberlit stoves are up to the task. Emberlit, the most convenient, easy-to-carry wood stoves on the planet. See them all at Emberlit.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Well, let's see. You won't make it as a Frenchman.
Le Paracast? I can do a good Jacques Vallée impersonation.
Well, no, if Jacques is listening, I think we're going to have a problem. Remember, Jacques is taller than you are.
Yes, much.
He's taller than everybody, I think, except for Ben Affleck.
Yeah, and Red Pill.
Red Pill is what, 6'5"?
Yeah, he's pretty damn tall. But yeah, I think he's the only person that was about the same height as Volley at the IUFOC, which I met you at and talked to you at about a month ago.
Yeah, just how time flies. I went over to the Adventures Unlimited booth over there, the vendors booth, and there's Chris. And of course, I'd seen pictures of Red Pill, and I'd seen pictures of Greg. So I met them for the first time. In fact, if you go to the Paracast forums at forum.theparacast.com, that's the description of our 10th anniversary episode. There's the picture I took of Chris, Greg, with his famous cap, and Red Pill.
Yeah, well, it's a hairpiece that people that get older and start losing their hair wear. That's why I wear the cap all the time, because I'm very embarrassed about having very little hair on top of my head. So that's the secret.
That's how they do it. Or movie stars who wear additional hair things. And if you notice here in the movie Batman v Superman, Henry Cavill, now take a look at him after the movie, just in private life, the hairline's receding, folks.
Yeah, mine's been receding since I was in my early 20s, so it's been a long-term battle. So.
Right, but this is Superman. Imagine a bald Superman.
Yeah, scary.
But no, of course, as long as he does this. Did you see the movie Batman v Superman, by the way?
No, I hardly ever go to movies anymore, and I probably won't go to that one.
All right, there is an outcome related to Superman. It's a spoiler. I won't tell you what it is. But it duplicates something that happened to Superman in a 1992 comic. But, of course, he'll be back in the next film. I don't even know why we're talking about this. I have a question here from Sue. And this is kind of related to what we were getting on with conspiracies. In terms of Project Beta, Greg describes, don't know if it was in the book or a podcast somewhere, having serious paranoia for a year or so and then getting over it. Why did he become paranoid? How paranoid did he become? And how did he finally manage to get over it? Does he have any suggestions for other people who might experience similar paranoia when studying weird stuff? Greg?
Yeah, I can tell you about that. There is an entire article on it in the book that I wrote specifically for the book because I couldn't find the old post at UFO Mystic where I'd written about my paranoia and what happened during that year. But unlike some people that come on shows and go, well, you're going to have to read the book for that, which always pisses me off, I'll tell you exactly what happened.
That's the biggest problem here. They'll either say, well, it's in the book and you have to read the book, or as I said in the book, which kind of what you just said, but that's okay. We don't mind selling a book for you.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, as soon as I hear somebody say, you're going to have to read the book, it automatically makes me not want to buy the book. It's just a reaction with me. It's like, why are you being so coy? If people are interested in the subject matter and you tell them exactly what it is, they're going to be compelled to read it because they're going to think, wow, there's probably, you know, I'm sure there's going to be stuff that I forget to put in the story that I tell that's in the actual book. But what happened was sometime in the mid-90s, there was a guy who said he was from Naval Intelligence and that he had, quote-unquote, read my file and that he wanted to use my magazine, The Excluded Middle, as a conduit or some way to release information.
It sounds to me like you were being treated like a William Moore.
Yeah, a little bit. Or anybody else that says, and this came up real recently on Coast to Coast with a guy that says that he's got inside information and they're feeding him information about really what's going on with the UFO subject and all that. Yes, that happened to me. The thing is, the guy would start saying things like, you know, if somebody wants to read your email, they can do it. And this was like, you know, 1995. If somebody wants to look at your computer screen remotely, they can do that. If somebody wants to open your mail, very easy for them to do, they can do that. And that started happening. My mail was open, some of it.
Now, of course, this is before we had the episode involving Apple and the FBI, where they couldn't open it, and then they hired a firm, I believe, from Israel, Cellebrite, and in 26 minutes, they opened up that older iPhone.
Yes, they didn't have to hire anybody. All of this is, I don't know what the dodge is here, because it's a backdoor on everything. And if there isn't, it's for the right people, it's very easy to figure out. John McAfee, the crazy software guy that people might know of, he actually publicly announced, I could crack that thing in 20 minutes. Just give it to me.
So it took 6 minutes longer. But listen, folks, we have a guest on my technology show, Tech Night Out Live, Dr. Timothy Summers. He is an ethical hacker.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear that, because I think it was just a publicity stunt by the NSA, just to, I don't know for what reason, but to make everybody think they can't do it. Stupid. Of course they can get into people's phones.
Well, they started a dialogue here, too. And it's a kind of dialogue that's good bad. It doesn't reflect well on the public. But I suspect if the majority of the public said, you know what, we need to have this information available for the authorities, that would have fueled certain kinds of laws or processes. Yeah. But it ended up that a slight majority said, no, we don't want that to happen. We want our security. All right, but let's go back to the paranoia. So this guy supposedly is able to look at your emails and he's making you scared.
Well, he didn't say he looked at my emails, but he said it was possible to.
Ah, okay, which kind of hints that maybe he did?
Well, the thing is, what he was trying to do is establish that I should be scared and that if I was scared, to come to him with my concerns. Basically, he's trying to drive me, you know, towards whatever. Anyway, so he did give me some information, which I put in the magazine, but not saying, this is from an inside source, and it might be true. It's just like, it was basically open source stuff. Stuff about the CIA, stuff about how open they wanted to be with the public, what stuff they had possibly kept from the public. Things that you could probably find out on your own if you looked really carefully. But he had given some of this stuff to me, and I was, you know, very slowly putting bits and pieces of it in the magazine and saying that's what was going on. I didn't say it was coming from that guy. I would just say, look, here's this thing, and what do you think? Not saying that I was special or anything like that, because even though I kind of felt like that then, it wasn't. It was just somebody somewhere within the Navy, apparently, trying to release certain types of information to have a certain kind of effect or to see who reported back or whatever. At that time, I thought they were trying to release information, but now I'm just kind of like, I think it was a disinformation thing. Anyway, so as this went on, I started seeing things like people stopping in front of my house and taking pictures of the place and driving away. And my mail was opened, especially from a cattle mutilation researcher and Carla Turner. Everything I got from them was either mangled or opened.
Now, just like torn apart or what?
Some were opened and some were torn apart.
Now, that's deliberate because there are ways, this old method of steam heating the flap of an envelope to get it open and then resealing it in a way that, of course, would hide evidence. Of course, Jim Moseley used to do the paranoid method where he'd draw two straight lines, but he'd wait till the flaps of the envelope were askew. Then he'd straighten it out, seal the envelope, and you think somebody opened it. That was Jim Moseley's paranoid marks. I'm serious. I'm most serious about doing a break now. With Gina and Chris and Greg Bishop, you're in.
A quarter.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE
offer a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
75 years ago, America suffered one of the worst moments in American history, the attack on Pearl Harbor. Now you can remember December 7th, 1941, with the purchase of the first ever 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-490-3200 right now for the official 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve, the only company authorized to distribute these 100% solid gold coins. Remember Pearl Harbor with this limited official gold release. 1-800-490-3200 or online at usmoneyreserve.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
You know what that reminds me of, the way you did that, Greg Bishop?
What?
The movie Young Frankenstein.
Dean Steinberg. What about, which in Young Frankenstein? What part?
Okay. Remember
one of my favorite
the scene
movies?
Where in the study, they lift the candle in this...
Oh, put the candle back.
And this door opens, it slides out. And then he enters the, as they say, the entrance to the backside of the house, or the, and the thing suddenly grabs him and is trying to strangle him, and he says, "Put the candle back."
Oh, that was when it was a secret passageway, and the whole bookshelf turned.
Exactly, the bookshelf turns.
On the thing, and then it's like he's trying to block it with his body so that they could get through, because it would always be closed. So he tried to block it with his body to keep it open, and all it did was almost crush him to death.
That, other than Blazing Saddles, was the best movie Mel Brooks ever did. And I don't know why. I don't think any other movie he ever did. Maybe The Producers was pretty good. They made a Broadway play of it.
Yeah.
I don't think any other movie was as good. But we're getting back to the paranoia. So people are reading your mail, or at least opening it to spook you. So obviously this was an effort to make you paranoid, because a lot of this could have been done and you wouldn't notice it.
I guess. The other thing, which I recounted in the book, and I will tell you about, was a really weird thing. It was like I had this long apartment that went, you know, it was just one long hallway with like a couple bedrooms off it. Anyway, I was in my office doing work at probably 11 at night. I got up to go, you know, into the bedroom, and my manager lived right upstairs from me. And I noticed when I went into my bedroom here at 11 at night, somebody upstairs was, the floors were creaky. The guy walked, whoever it was, walked where I did into the bedroom. Yeah, so what? I came out of the bedroom and he followed me. The footsteps were above my head when I went back to my office. And I said, well, coincidence. So I got up later and did more. And for like 5-10 minutes, whoever was upstairs walked where I walked in the apartment. It was extremely strange and really freaked me out.
They were matching your steps precisely?
Yes. Well, I don't know, precisely. So whoever it was would go down the hallway when I went down the hallway, would go in the kitchen when I went in the kitchen, because it was the same floor plan upstairs. I got so scared. I went back to my computer, knowing that people could see what you had typed on your computer. The guy told me, I typed in big block letters on my computer, "I know what you're doing. Stop it now." And it stopped. I was so freaked out. I could not. I didn't even want to ask my apartment manager about it. So I don't know what happened there. I wasn't drunk. I wasn't on drugs, you know, and it never happened again. So I don't know what the hell happened that day. Anyway, so, you know, this gets worse and worse and worse and worse. I'm scared to do anything. I'm scared to answer the phone. I'm getting, like, you know, those phone calls where somebody rings the phone like 100 times so you pick it up and then there's nobody there. I was getting a bunch of those too, 5, 6, 8 a day, sometimes more. After a while, I just didn't pick up the phone. But if you didn't, it would just keep ringing. It was insane. So finally, the weird thing was that I didn't make this, like, thing like, you know, I'm going to change my way of looking at things and I'm just going to, I got tired of being scared. So I told myself, I'm just not going to worry about it anymore. And the weird thing was when I stopped worrying about it, all that crap stopped.
It was as if they were mirroring your attitude.
Or my attitude caused these things, or some of these things are going on anyway, and I just never noticed them if I don't have a paranoid mindset. I don't know. But the thing is, I don't know if I said it in the book, but I described this to Paul Krassner, the Yippie writer who used to publish The Realist, a kind of a personal hero of mine. And I was talking to him once, and he went through this same kind of thing when he was studying the Kennedy assassination in the late 60s. He went through a horrible paranoid period. He thought people were following him and tapping his phone and all that. I said, "What did you do about it?" And he said, "I just decided to stop being paranoid." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "It gets old, doesn't it?" And I said, "Yes, it does." So mindset is a really important thing that, you know, that you can hoodwink yourself into anything. But getting out of that paranoid period was key for me by just saying, "Look, I'm tired of being paranoid. I'm going to stop it." And it took a few months for it to simmer down, but it did. And ever since then, I've really not had any strangeness happened. A lot of strange things happened when I was doing the magazine because I was just getting into it, meeting a lot of people, doing a lot of strange things. So, you know, it was a growth period of strangeness.
Now, Paul Krassner is still alive. He's 83 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
He lives out here.
He had a book out in 1993, an autobiography, called Confessions of a Raving Unconfined Nut.
Which was what Richard Nixon called him, apparently.
Misadventures in the Counterculture. It's amazing the guy is still at it.
Yeah.
I remember The Realist, by the way.
Hmm?
I remember The Realist.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a great magazine. I found one, I guess, at a thrift store or something once, which is the cover is has Lenny Bruce on it with an article by Lenny Bruce, which I got because I'm a big Lenny Bruce fan. And Krassner and Lenny Bruce were friends. Apparently. I also have one of his, I can't know if I can swear on the air, but I have one of his,
You can't swear on the air, so we can only do that on After the Powercast.
Okay. It's the F communism poster that he put out sometime in the 60s to piss off conservatives and liberals, and it's wonderful, and he signed it to me, and I treasure it dearly.
We need more people like him. Okay, so anyway, over time you overcame this paranoia. And you became your normal self again. Now, this happened after you had first hooked up with Bill Moore.
Yes, it was maybe 5, 6, 7 years after that. And I wasn't paranoid because when I was talking to Bill and hanging out with him and hearing what he had to say, because none of this was affecting me. It was what was going on with him. And he didn't really tell me very much. The only time he really told me in detail as much as he could of what was going on is when I was working on Project Beta.
Right. And of course, Eric the Red asked a question. For those who haven't read your book or might be unfamiliar with the case, could you summarize the Paul Benowitz story? What can be learned from this story that might give us greater understanding about UFOs or the government's interest in them? So let's be brief about that because we've gone to Benowitz in the past with you, but maybe a real 2-minute Reader's Digest version.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. What happened with Benowitz? He was a scientist with a master's degree in electrical engineering. He lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico. This was in the late 1970s. He thought that he saw something that was UFO-like being tested at the Air Force Base next to where he lived there in Albuquerque, Kirtland Air Force Base. So he started filming it and writing up what he saw. He eventually reported this to the Air Force because it was on the Air Force Base, and he wanted to say, hey, did you know there's UFOs flying around your base? And they said they got this message from him and said, why didn't you come down and tell us about it? Because obviously they knew what was going on their base. And they wanted to know who was there at 3 in the morning in the middle of the winter in the freezing, you know, below zero cold, watching this stuff. They called him into the base. He gave a presentation. And they realized that he was actually looking at stuff that he shouldn't be looking at. So they decided to basically take control of his perceptions. And the reason they didn't ask him to just stop it is because they wanted to find out how he knew what he was, you know, how he knew what he knew, and also who he might be talking to. Anyway, he was his own worst enemy. He was kind of a paranoid to begin with, and the Air Force and the NSA and everybody else that was working on the base there trying to protect secret projects decided just to basically monitor him and take control of his perceptions because they didn't want him anything they were doing getting out anywhere. And two, if it did get out, they wanted to know who was listening. So it was useful in that way. Eventually, he got so paranoid, based mostly on what he was telling them and thinking up, but in addition to being supported by various intelligence agencies that contacted him, that he ended up in a mental institution for a while. When he came out, he stopped this. One of the people that he talked to while this was going on was Bill Moore, who had a deal with certain elements of the government that they were going to give him UFO information in exchange for his cooperation. I don't believe Moore ever handed any disinformation to Paul Benowitz except one piece of paper called the Aquarius document, which he told him to be careful about.
Let's be careful about this announcement and get on with Greg Bishop, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
December 7th, 1941. A date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
He's trying to speak like that guy who used to do the Federal Express commercials and talk real fast. I can't speak that fast. I can speak quickly about the Paracast Plus, though. And it's a way for you to listen to that second radio show we do, which is called After the Paracast. And we've had Greg on After the Paracast.
Yes.
And it consists of additional interviews with a guest, color commentary, just me and Chris talking about anything under the sun. And none of the above. We also offer show transcripts, an enhanced version of this show without the network, ads, more to come, for a low subscription rate, monthly, annual, 5 years, lifetime. Go to plus, plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. Greg Bishop is here, author of It Defies Language, but never defies language when Greg is on to explain it. We're talking a little bit of background about Paul Benowitz. You want to pick up on that, Greg?
Yeah. The upshot of all this, and another person that he was working with who's very famous and everybody knows about now is former Air Force Office of Special Investigations operative Richard Doty, who's very involved in the story and very involved with controlling Benowitz's perceptions and directing them. What happened was, what I was able to find out is that he was looking at the testing of some sort of aerial platform. Who knows what it was? It was something that seemed to move like a UFO and glowed like one, but it was completely under the control of the Air Force. So who knows what it was? I don't think it was anything extraterrestrial or anything like that. But you know, he was watching it, and they didn't like that. The Bill Moore's part was that he was told that if he cooperated, he would get UFO information that the government had, certain files and all that, that nobody else got. And he did, some of which was probably not true and hoaxed. I don't think he hoaxed any of it himself, but some of it which was not. But the thing is, after the end of this, I asked him, I said, well, was it worth it? Did you find anything out? And he goes, no, I found nothing out. It was it wasn't a waste of time, because it was an adventure. But he didn't get that UFO information from the government that he thought he would get. He did get a lot of stuff that was tantalizing, but nothing you can put your finger on and say, yes, the government definitely knows. And he even disavows the MJ-12 thing. Now he himself thinks it was a fake.
But Stanton Friedman doesn't.
No, Stanton doesn't, and I don't know why not. It's probably just because he's looked into it for so long that he's either absolutely right or he's got blind spots. I tend to think he has blind spots, but, you know, I'm not going to argue with Stan Friedman about MJ-12.
It's not worth it. We don't want to bring it up again. But if we're going to argue about something, since we have Stanton Friedman and William Moore in the picture, Roswell, is it possible William Moore kind of put us in some wrong directions in the early days of Roswell? Remember, of course, he wrote the book with Charles Berlitz in which Stanton Friedman supposedly did a lot more than he was credited for.
Yes, he did a lot of the research. He first talked to Jesse Marcel at a radio station, I believe, in Louisiana, and that's how the story came out. He told Moore about it. He was working with Moore at the time. He gave some of his, did some research, and then Moore actually, I'm not sure if Friedman did this, but Moore actually went to Roswell in 1977 or 78 and talked to all these people. And got the very first stories that had come out since the thing had happened in 1947. And what people said at the time was a lot less detailed than what subsequent researchers and books have found out. Now, I don't know if that's because they got better information, that people were more inclined to say things, or that they were led in a certain way. I have no idea.
That's the thing I worry about Roswell.
Yeah.
Once the stories are out there, and people are trying to remember things that happened 30, 40 years earlier, whatever. Of course, we're talking about 1947 compared to 1977.
Yeah.
30 years of memories colored by that book and by subsequent magazine articles. And there wasn't much popular conversation about Roswell after the original event. But that book fueled so much. How much of the remembrances of Roswell, how much of them were distorted by that book and others?
I think quite a lot. And in the final analysis of the whole thing, and I can't even remember why this is my opinion, because over many years I've heard many things, that it has not been solved. It's kind of like the Kennedy assassination. It's not been solved. It probably never will be. And we're probably just going to have to live with that. Which is fine, because it's created a lot of controversy. It's created some good literature, and people have written some interesting things about it. And something definitely went on, which was very important to the military at the time. Whether that's extraterrestrials or not, I'm not exactly sure, but it was certainly very important. And if it was extraterrestrials, and, you know, there were some dead bodies or whatever that have been found by subsequent researchers or stories about them, then that's never going to be admitted either. It just isn't until there's some compelling reason to do so. People complaining about it and saying release the files is not a compelling reason to do so.
And you wonder here, even if they recovered alien technology, how much of that technology could they decode? Now, take my common example, and we mentioned it in this week's version of the Tech Night Out Live, where we were talking with a guy named John Martellaro, who's a guy who used to work at Apple, by the way, in their science and business division. And the thing is here, you take today's iPhone, he calls the iPhone like almost like magic. And now go back to 1947. Now imagine the iPhone technology enhanced by another 100 or 200 or 500 years of technology. Okay?
Yep.
Now imagine, even with the iPhone in 1947, what could they do with it? Now imagine even more if it was 1907 with an iPhone. What could they do with it? An iPad, for example. So we have this spaceship from a civilization that may be hundreds or thousands of years ahead of us. How do we get past that technology? I mean, I even look at the movie Independence Day, where they have Area 51 supposedly has an alien body in a spaceship, and someone asks a question. You've had this thing since the 1950s. Of course, we're talking about the 40s, but this is a movie.
Yeah.
And you haven't figured out what's going on. And then, of course, the scientist played by the actor who played Data on Star Trek Next Generation, he says, well, we know tons, but we can't get past their technology. But that's the point. The point is here, if you have that advanced technology, what would you do with it? Would you invent night vision goggles and hand it off to Colonel Philip Corso? No.
Well, I think I've got this idea, and it's just me, that people have this idea that aliens would be advanced so many years ahead of us, and they're assuming our time frame and our point of view and our technology and what would happen. I think if you get anywhere near, you know, 200 or 300 years after us, we won't be able to recognize our own civilization and society and technology at that point. And imagine one that had gone in a completely different direction than us. You know, how are you even going to – I don't think you could even comprehend what their ideas would be and their motivations and their technology would be. It wouldn't even be, like magic to us. It would be incomprehensible to us.
We wouldn't even recognize this technology.
Yeah, and the thing is, if we did encounter it, you're right. We wouldn't recognize it as technology. And the thing is, we would start, and this is part of, you know, one of my big bailiwicks or whatever you want to call it, the thing I'm always talking about, we would start putting our own meaning on it to make sense out of it. And I think that's a lot of what's going on, and there's a couple of things in the book on that.
Well, that's something that leads us to believe that we got to read that book. Let me hit you with some other things that may be related to the paranoia. And, of course, you know, Roswell, I don't know what to make of it. I still think there's more of a top secret thing here than alien technology being recovered. But
I'm pretty sure of that, too, Gene, actually.
Okay, so now then, let's look at some other subjects that our listeners are asking about. We have a bunch of questions, and I'm sure you've checked them. From Eric the Red. Do alien abductions really happen? Why or why not?
Why asking me that?
You're not an abduction guy, but yes.
Something happens. There's my answer. You know, in some cases, something happens which I don't think can be put down to sleep paralysis or anything like that. I think things happen to people. I don't know about a majority, I would probably say minority, where somebody has some sort of contact with something that isn't human, I think. Past that, I have no idea. And the abduction, you know, the thing is we've been told what abductions are for so long that we've built up an idea of what they are.
And that might influence what people report. We've got Greg Bishop with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.